Picture the scene. It is June 2026. You are standing right on the floor of the Computex trade show in Taipei.
Oh, yeah. Chaos.
Complete chaos. The massive convention hall is just absolutely buzzing. Cameras are flashing everywhere. And NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang is doing this, this big photo op.
Right.
He's leaning over this pristine, incredibly expensive SK Hynix semiconductor wafer, and he takes out a marker. And right there on the silicon, he writes four simple words: "Please make more."
Which is just a fantastic visual. I mean,
Yeah.
it obviously got a huge laugh from the crowd.
Yeah, totally.
It makes for a perfect tech headline. But when you look closely at the underlying mechanics of the industry right now, that wasn't just a billionaire CEO making a joke. It was a genuine plea.
Which is exactly why we are digging into this today. I really want to bring you all into this moment because while it sounds like a lighthearted exchange between tech giants, those four words reveal the single biggest bottleneck in the global AI race today.
Yep, the absolute speed limit.
Right. The speed limit of the artificial intelligence revolution isn't being dictated by, a lack of software innovation. It isn't even about processor designs. It all comes down to a very specific, highly complex piece of hardware.
The memory.
The memory. So our mission for this deep dive is to dissect this massive new AI infrastructure development pact between NVIDIA and SK Hynix. We're going to explore why one specific type of memory chip is basically holding the entire industry hostage.
And how these two tech giants are practically blurring corporate lines to solve the problem.
Exactly. And what this massive power shift means for the future of technology. Okay, let's unpack this, starting with the physical reality of what they are actually trying to build.
Well, to really understand the desperation behind Jensen Huang's request, we have to look at the physical chips themselves.
Yeah.
Because you can't just mandate a factory to double its output overnight.
No, it doesn't work like that.
Not at all.
No.
We are talking about HBM, or high bandwidth memory. This is a very special, highly difficult slice of overall DRAM production.
Let's visualize how different this is from standard memory, because the architecture is just wild.
It really is.
So if traditional memory is like a massive single-story library where one librarian has to run around fetching books one by one, HBM is like a multi-story skyscraper library.
That's a great way to put it.
And to get the books out fast enough, they've punched this massive elevator shaft directly through the floors, which allows 16 librarians to drop stacks of books down simultaneously.
Right, and that elevator shaft in your analogy is a manufacturing technique called through-silicon via, or TSV.
GSV.
Okay.
Yeah.
To build HBM, SK Hynix is vertically stacking DRAM chips often 8, 12, or even 16 layers high.
Wow, 16 layers.
And to connect them, they aren't just wiring them around the edges like you might think. They're actually etching microscopic holes directly through the silicon of each layer.
Through the actual silicon.
Right through it. And then they fill those vias with copper and perfectly align them so they mate with thousands of microscopic bumps on the layer below.
Which just sounds like an absolute nightmare to manufacture at scale. I mean, if you are stacking 16 incredibly fragile silicon wafers and you're relying on thousands of these microscopic copper pillars to line up perfectly through the entire stack, what happens if just one of those connections is off by like a fraction of a millimeter? You throw the entire 16-layer stack in the trash.
Wait, really? The whole thing?
The whole package is dead. You can't just go in with tweezers and fix a broken connection on layer seven.
Oh, man.
So the yield control on TSV is just agonizing. Yield meaning, the percentage of these microscopic skyscrapers that actually function perfectly after the entire grueling manufacturing process. The complexity is exponentially higher than standard single-layer DRAM.
And while the manufacturing is brutally difficult, the demand side of the equation is just exploding. I was looking through the notes on the new GB300 NVL72 server racks, the hardware powering the absolute bleeding edge of AI right now, and the memory specs blew my mind.
They are wild.
How much HBM are they actually packing into just one of these cabinets?
Well, the numbers are staggering. One of those racks houses 72 Blackwell GPUs.
Okay.
And every single one of those 72 processors requires 8 individual HBM3E stacks.
That is hundreds of these microscopic skyscrapers just for one cabinet.
And the demand just compounds with every generation.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at NVIDIA's DGX systems, they went from needing 640 gigabytes of HBM in one generation to 1440 gigabytes in the next.
More than double.
Right. And looking ahead to the upcoming Vera Rubin architecture, the expectation is that single cabinet HBM demand will likely double yet again. The AI compute clusters are growing larger, and the memory requirements scale directly alongside them. What's fascinating here is that NVIDIA's GPU production is almost entirely handcuffed by this specific memory supply.
It's a completely asymmetrical dynamic.
Exactly. NVIDIA designs the logic chips, right?
Yeah.
And they can scale up their GPU output through architectural tweaks or transitioning to a smaller nanometer node at their foundries.
But scaling HBM,
that requires physical, earth-moving fabrication plants. It requires heavy machinery and grueling, incredibly slow improvements to those TSV yields we talked about.
Which naturally brings us to SK Hynix's response. Because the supply is choked, they are undertaking an infrastructure expansion of mind-boggling proportions to widen that bottleneck.
They really are.
Their master plan is to double their total monthly DRAM wafer capacity from roughly 550,000 wafers today to 1 million wafers a month by 2030 or 2031.
And we really need to break down the logistics of that expansion, because just throwing around a phrase like 1 million wafers totally glosses over the immense engineering required.
Oh, for sure.
The crown jewel of this plan is their new Yongin semiconductor cluster. They are scheduled to start moving equipment into the first fabrication plant there by February 2027. And this isn't just a warehouse.
Right.
This fab is divided into 6 massive clean rooms.
And their rollout strategy for those clean rooms is incredibly deliberate. They plan to activate 1 new clean room every 6 months, with each room adding about 60,000 wafers to their monthly capacity.
Wait 6 months for a single room. Why does it take half a year just to turn on the lights in a new section of the factory? Because a semiconductor cleanroom isn't just a dust-free box. It is a hyper-controlled environment. It's actually built on specialized shock absorbers.
Shock absorbers?
Yeah, to prevent ambient seismic vibrations from ruining the microscopic alignment we talked about earlier. Installing the TSV bonding equipment, calibrating the chemical vapor deposition machines, testing the robotic material handlers, it takes months of agonizingly precise calibration before a single sellable wafer comes out.
So by mid-2030, just that first fab in Yongin will finally be contributing an extra 360,000 wafers a month.
Correct.
Then you add in their Cheongju M15X fab, which scales to 80,000 next year, and their Wuxi factory in China chipping in another 200,000. That's how they finally hit that million mark.
That's the math.
But I have to put on my skeptical hat for a minute here. Looking at this purely from a business perspective, the financial risk of building this massive physical infrastructure is terrifying. We have to talk about what the sources refer to as the ghost of 2022.
Oh, yeah. The bullwhip effect. It's a dark shadow hanging over this entire sector.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, let's look at what actually happened to the suppliers back then. In 2022, SK Hynix gave all their equipment and material suppliers incredibly aggressive capital expenditure guidance.
Right. They told them to gear up.
They basically told their supply chain, we are going to build like crazy. Get your own factories ready. So those specialized materials companies went out, spent their own cash, bought parts, and staffed up. And then the broader consumer electronics market just shifted.
SK Hynix drastically slashed their equipment orders just months after giving that guidance,
which left their entire supply chain holding the bag. Those smaller companies faced devastating cash flow crises because they bought materials for immense orders that simply vanished.
It was brutal.
So if I'm a supplier today and SK Hynix tells me they are expanding to 1 million wafers by 2030 and I need to buy more equipment, I'm terrified. Why should anyone trust that this isn't just a repeat of 2022? That is the pivotal question of this entire deep dive. To commit to a multi-billion-dollar physical build-out, SK Group Chairman Chae Tae-won knew he couldn't ask his supply chain to absorb that kind of risk again.
Right.
They needed an ironclad guarantee from NVIDIA that this AI demand is a sustained multi-year reality, not just some temporary spike.
A verbal promise wasn't going to cut it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The traditional dynamic of a client placing a basic purchase order with a supplier was completely insufficient for the scale of capital required here.
Which perfectly sets the stage for the joint press conference in Seoul between Chae Tae-won and Jensen Huang. They stood in the SK Seorin building and officially announced they were fundamentally changing how they operate.
Huge shift.
They are no longer just a supplier and a client. They upgraded the relationship to long-term joint development partners.
And the specific mechanics of this partnership are what make it unprecedented. We are seeing a historic technology swap. SK Hynix is getting access to NVIDIA's most advanced software tools to design the memory that will power NVIDIA's future hardware.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because they are essentially building a digital twin of these future factories.
A digital twin, yeah.
SK Hynix is taking NVIDIA, Omniverse, and OpenUSD to construct a perfect, real-time, physics-accurate digital replica of their semiconductor fabrication plants. They are simulating the entire factory before they even pour the concrete.
Which is brilliant, because simulating a factory at that level prevents billion-dollar mistakes down the line.
Absolutely.
They are using NVIDIA's COBX and Physics Nemo platforms to simulate the actual physical manufacturing processes at a microscopic level. It allows them to map out the factory floor, drop a virtual pallet of materials into the simulation, and see exactly how their autonomous mobile robots, their AMRs, will route around it.
Yes, so
they can optimize the thermal dynamics and the logistics of the clean room totally digitally.
They are also using electronic design automation, or EDA. And as I understand it from the sources, this is essentially AI-driven software that helps draft the incredibly complex microscopic blueprints of the chips themselves. It drastically reduces the time it takes to optimize power flow and reduce heat across billions of transistors.
Precisely. And once the physical factory is finally built based on those flawless digital simulations, the goal is total automation driven by AI.
It's an Ouroboros. It's a recursive loop.
Exactly.
NVIDIA is deploying its cutting-edge AI software to help its memory supplier design highly automated, incredibly efficient factories. Those factories will manufacture complex HBM chips faster and with better yields.
Right.
And those exact HBM chips go directly back into NVIDIA's next generation of AI processors, making the AI even smarter, which will help SK Hynix design an even better factory for the generation after that. They are literally building the machine that builds the machine.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is a revolutionary shift for the semiconductor industry.
It really is.
Historically, this space is fiercely segmented. Logic chip designers, memory makers, foundries, they all fiercely protect their proprietary processes from one another.
Lots of walled gardens.
Tons of them. So to see a company like NVIDIA so deeply embedded in the EDA drafting and factory floor simulations of a memory manufacturer, it highlights exactly how desperate they are to eliminate any friction in the HBM supply chain.
But building an AI automated factory and running massive physics simulations requires immense cloud computing infrastructure right on site. And SK Hynix doesn't build cloud platforms alone, which brings in the sister company.
SK Telecom.
Right. SK Telecom is stepping into the ring, building a massive AI cloud platform based on NVIDIA's Deus Ex architecture.
And their goal is to launch that commercially by 2027 to become the leading AI cloud operator in Asia.
So just follow the life cycle here.
Mm-hmm.
SK Group manufactures the microscopic memory, ships it to NVIDIA to be built into massive servers, and then SK Telecom buys those finished servers back to power their cloud dominance.
It's wild.
It is a profoundly interwoven ecosystem.
It is incredibly symbiotic. However, and this is vital to note, NVIDIA is playing a very sophisticated game of chess.
Oh, definitely.
While they are essentially co-designing factory operations with SK Hynix, NVIDIA is quietly ensuring they don't become captive to a single supplier.
Which was the reality for the last 2 years. I mean, SK Hynix was effectively operating a monopoly because they were the sole qualified supplier for HBM3 and HBM3E. That gave them an unbelievable amount of leverage over NVIDIA.
But that leverage just shifted. On June 5th, during his trip to Korea, Jensen Huang publicly confirmed that all three major Korean HBM suppliers have now passed NVIDIA's certification process.
The technical moat has been breached.
It has.
So the game for SK Hynix completely changes. For the last 2 years, they just had to prove their microscopic skyscrapers actually worked. Now they have to fight tooth and nail for market share against direct competitors who are also certified.
Exactly.
By bringing in other suppliers, NVIDIA secures much-needed supply flexibility and, more importantly, claws back its pricing power.
And regaining pricing power is critical because the unit economics of these AI clusters are just ballooning out of control.
They really are.
High bandwidth memory has evolved from a relatively cheap component into a massive financial burden. Today, HBM makes up 20% to 25% of the total bill of materials for high-end AI training clusters.
Let's pause on that pricing for a second because the individual chip costs are absolutely stunning.
Let's hear it.
The sources note that a single HBM3E 12-high chip, meaning a chip stacked 12 layers high, currently costs over $1,500.
Wow.
And going back to our earlier math on the GB300 processor, a single GPU uses 8 of those memory chips. That is over $12,000 just for the memory attached to one single processor.
Now multiply that by the 72 processors in a single rack.
Unbelievable.
And that is based on today's pricing. When the next generation arrives, HBM4, which will pair with NVIDIA's Vera Rubin architecture, industry estimates suggest the cost could surpass $2,500 per chip.
Which completely reframes how we think about the computing landscape. We spend all our time analyzing the processing power of these GPUs, marveling at how many trillions of calculations they can perform. But with prices this high and the global supply so incredibly constrained by the physical limits of building clean rooms, is memory actually dictating the future just as much as the processors?
It undeniably is. HBM has elevated from a standard motherboard component to the status of a strategic material.
A strategic material?
Yes. Access to high bandwidth memory dictates a company's or even a nation's ability to participate in the AI economy. It is to the modern technological era what oil was to the industrial era.
Wow.
That is exactly why we are seeing the end of simple transactional purchase orders, replaced by these tightly knit long-term supply chain alliances that completely blur corporate boundaries.
Yet, despite having a virtual monopoly during an unprecedented global shortage, SK Hynix made a very interesting public commitment. The sources outline a gentleman's agreement where SK Hynix explicitly promised not to price gouge. They stated they wouldn't, quote, take advantage of the fire. Why leave that much money on the table when your customers are literally begging you to make more?
Well, it's a highly calculated move focused on ecosystem survival. Sudden, massive price spikes can shatter the long-term viability of the industry.
How so?
Think about it. If SK Hynix bleeds NVIDIA dry on memory costs, NVIDIA's forced to raise the price of their servers. Those server costs get passed on to cloud providers, who then charge higher rates to AI startups.
And it just trickles down.
Exactly. If compute becomes too expensive, AI development stalls, and the massive boon that SK Hynix is relying on to justify their million wafer factory expansion suddenly collapses. They're actively choosing high volume and long-term ecosystem health over short-term profiteering.
They need this AI boom to last for decades to pay off those factories, not just a few lucrative quarters.
Precisely. It highlights just how fragile and deeply interconnected this new era of computing really is. A bottleneck at the microscopic level literally cascades through the entire global economy.
So, what does this all mean for you listening? Next time you are scrolling through your feed and you see a headline about an incredible new AI model that can generate a movie from a text prompt, or, you know, cure a disease, or you see NVIDIA announce a new processor that breaks the laws of physics.
Which happens every week now?
Seriously, I want you to look past the software, look past the processor design. Remember the raw physical reality underneath it all? None of those breakthroughs happen without microscopic towers of DRAM stacked 16 layers high with perfect copper pillars sitting in vibration-proof clean rooms in South Korea.
Yep.
That highly fragile, incredibly difficult to manufacture memory is the actual engine of the future.
And to leave you with one final thought, to mull over everything we've dissected today, the billion-dollar semiconductor fabs, the digital twin factories, the desperate pleas from CEOs for more capacity, has focused entirely on data centers.
Right.
Massive warehouse-scale supercomputers.
Because that's where all the current demand is concentrated.
But the sources reveal a glimpse into NVIDIA's next phase. They are actively planning to integrate HBM into edge computing and robotics platforms.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, systems like Jetson Thor and RTX Spark. So here's the lingering question. If the biggest tech titans on the planet are currently fighting tooth and nail over severely limited supply of HBM just to power their data centers, and the absolute fastest SK Hynix can build a new clean room is still a year and a half away, what exactly happens to global supply chains when millions of autonomous robots, smart cars, and edge devices suddenly wake up and start demanding this exact same bottlenecked resource?
We are definitely going to need a bigger marker.